Okay, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 4. I do as well want to thank all of you for your very hard work in making the day a success. Thank the Lord for the good weather, and thank the Lord for all of you who put a lot of work into preparing the food, those you invited. That was a special blessing this morning to have the octet sing. I love to have those groups when they have music memorized and just be able to have that direct contact. That was such a blessing. So we need to be praying for God to be working in our midst. Proverbs chapter 4. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. This obviously is a verse that describes the life of the believer. It describes the normal, typical life of a born-again believer and God's working in their life. Of course, we have other verses in the Bible that are very close to that, speaking of God's working in the life of a believer and what is normal and typical. Philippians chapter 1, we have another one of those verses that is like that. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul is praying for the Philippians, and he's saying, "And I pray that your love may abound yet more and more." That your love may abound more and more. Philippians chapter 2 speaks of really what's happening in the life of a believer. In Philippians 2, it says, verse 13, in the context, "But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to do and to will, of his good pleasure." Verse 15, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 1, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And then verse 10 of that same chapter, "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." The path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Of course, the perfect day is speaking of that day in which we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, even this morning as we memorize our verses, in Ephesians, it talks about that great principle that he said Christ gave himself for the church that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And talking about cleansing it with the washing of water by the word. And here we have a picture of the real Christian life. We have a picture of the real Christian life as revealed in the Scripture. And we have a picture of the real Christian life because in the new birth, God begins His work in us. And He continues that work until the day of Jesus Christ. And I think it's good for us to get a focus on really what God says here about the Christian life. And notice, first of all, we'd have to say that the Christian life is forward and it's progressive. It's forward and it's progressive. Notice it said more and more over and over. More and more, more and more, more and more. You know, I think it's something that we need to be, I know I do, need to be challenged with, and we need to be shaken up a little bit about what is God's revelation here about the Christian life. You know, it's not less and less. It's not less and less. It's not, you know, a big puff and then, you know, just dwindles down more and more and more. And, but we see that principle, that it's forward and it's positive. More holiness, not less. More self-denial, not less. More consecration, not less. More love, not less. More. I think it's good for us because sometimes we get the wrong picture in our mind of the Christian life. Sometimes that picture can be just coasting. Just coasting along. Sometimes that picture can be just, you know, we're the same as we were 20 years ago. It's not the picture in the Bible. And you know, young people, it isn't just a picture for adults, it's a picture for you. It's not less and less. It's more and more. It's progressive, it's forward, it's positive. We live in a very confused age, but many times young people raised in a Christian home, what happens? Sometimes what you see is you see them as maybe children, excited about the Lord, and then as they get older and older and older and older and older, what do you see? Less and less. Less and less. Now, there's a problem with that because that conflicts with Scripture. There is a problem with that. And we have a day and age in Christianity when, in general, we see that that is not taking place. When you hear about institutions like Moody Bible Institute now publicly acknowledging that they have now allowable for faculty at Moody Bible Institute to drink alcohol and to use tobacco. Now you see something that's unbiblical. Now you see something that is confusing. Now you see people who have reached maturity, so to speak, in their Christian life, and it's less and less. It's not biblical. And it's very important for us not to accept that as a biblical model. Now, you know, if we're running on our own steam, you can imagine that as time goes on, we're going to get tired. Right? If we're working on our own steam, if we're working on our own tradition, if we're working on the impetus from whatever, and you can recognize that if we're working that way, our steam is going to wear down. And we have to ask ourselves how much of Christianity today is of the Spirit of God. How much of Christianity is of the Spirit of God, and how much of Christianity is merely men and the work of man and the flesh. So we have a picture here. You know, salvation is not whoosh and then no. Salvation, yeah, it's a whoosh to one degree or another. But it is progressive. Amen. And you have to ask yourself, well, if it isn't progressive, what has really happened? Notice it's also incremental. It says that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. More and more. But it is incremental. It's a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. It's more and more. It's not whoosh and we've arrived. Progressive sanctification. There's a progress and it's incremental. And that's God's, that is because the Spirit of God works in our life. And it's because we are still sinners. And there still is a battle. And there is still a continual yielding. There's still a continual dealing with sin. It might start off with the outward form, but afterward it might continue down to the inward motives and the inward unctions of that sin. But God is deals with us incrementally. And the Lord deals with an area of our life. And as we respond to the Lord, pretty soon He's going to deal with another area of our life. And as we deal with the Lord and grow, He's going to deal with another area of our life. You know, as you think about Christianity today in general, has degenerated to the lowest possible level. What I mean by that is that churches don't want to grow. Now, I don't mean grow numerically. They want to grow numerically, but they don't want to grow spiritually. They don't want to grow in holiness. They don't want to grow in self-denial. They don't want to grow in dedication. They don't want to grow. Now, why don't they want to grow? Well, that's a good question, why they don't want to grow, because that's not natural. But it seems to be there's another reason. They don't want to grow spiritually, because if they grow spiritually, people will not be interested in going to their church. You know, young believers, it seems today, want to go to a church that they can smoke. Or they want to go to a church where they can drink. Or they want to go to a church where they can swear. Or they want to go to a church where they can be, you know, a moderately honest businessman. Or they can go to a church where, you know, they can watch, you know, R-rated movies. I mean, that's the kind of church they want to go. But let me ask you a question. Isn't that kind of entry-level Christianity? Isn't that kind of entry-level Christianity? Shouldn't there be some growth in a church? You know, shouldn't there be growth in believers? Shouldn't a church grow out of those things? Now, I can imagine that churches need to grow. But I think a lot of churches don't want to grow. If you read the book called The Public Undressing of America by Pollard. Here's a man who got saved. And he's in an organization, whatever it was, church or whatever. And they're witnessing at the beaches in Florida. And he's a brand new believer, and he's there with the church, and they're witnessing. And, he was having a little problem with his sanctification, with everything that he was seeing there. And his children said to him, Dad, this seems a little bit, problematic. And so he goes to his leader, and the leader says, oh, not a problem. But he goes to the Bible, and he begins to study what the Bible says. And he realizes that what many Christians accept as okay is not okay with God. You know, the Bible speaks of a forward, a positive, a progressive, incremental growth in our lives. Now, when we get to be, we get to be 50 years old, and we were saved at 10, there should be some big changes. Amen? 40 years. There should be some big changes. That's what the Bible's saying. The just, they shine more and more unto the perfect day. Now, let's get another view of this. Let's look at God's plan for our life. What is God's plan for our life? Well, I think we see a picture here of God's plan for our life. That we shine more and more unto the perfect day. Perfect, the perfecting day, the completing day, the finishing day. We think of what the verses we're memorizing in Ephesians. And he says there, he gave himself forth that he might sanctify, set it apart from sin unto himself, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's the means, the word of God. That, what? Purpose? That he might, ultimate purpose, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. What is God's plan? God's plan is that as we progress and grow in our Christian life, that when we meet the Lord, that our life would have progressed to being without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. That's God's plan. Now we realize in Christ we're perfect at the moment we're saved. Amen? But it's talking about sanctification. It's talking about God's plan for our life. And you know, the fact is, many times we settle. We just accept the fact that we are going to die with the same big problems that we started our Christian life with. Is that God's plan? That's not God's plan, is it? Is it God's plan that we end our life with the same besetting sins that we started the Christian life with? No. God's plan is that we would be a glorious church. I realize that that's not very acceptable today. But that's God's plan. That's God's plan for our life. And it would be mighty sad for us to stand before the Lord and see that big, big gap, that big time of our life, and see that we're spiritually back here almost right where we were when we started. Think that's God's plan? No. Not God's plan. Now, neither is this God's plan. That we get saved and we make progress. And now, you know what? Then we start going backwards. Is that God's plan? No, that's not God's plan either. What is God's plan? God's plan is that we go forward. That we go upward. That when we meet the Lord, that we will have dealt with the major areas of our sin in our life. And that through the Spirit of God and through the resurrected Christ, we'd be living a life of victory. So number one, as we think about this, we need to get a vision for our life. We need to get a vision for our life. You know, make a chart. Young person, make a chart of your Christian life. What does it look like? What does it look like? Does a chart of your Christian life, does it look like... I think it does for some. Is that what your Christian life is? I really question if you are really saved. Now, thank the Lord, your life isn't over, so it can get corrected. But what is your Christian life look like? You know, you made some progress, and now are you going backwards? Is the just shining more and more unto the perfect day? What about God working in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure? You know, a lot of Christians, they act like they have senioritis. I haven't heard that word much, but we had it in high school, called senioritis. And it was a definite disease. It was a definite disease. Now, it really wasn't too good. Now, in our high school, our grade point average was figured on 7 semesters. So the last one didn't really count. And so you kind of took it a little bit easy. Wasn't good. Slacked off. And boy, that's not a very good way to start college. Coasting. Going backwards. A lot of Christians get senioritis. You know, they get to a certain point. You know, some young people, they get to Bible college. And they start coasting on their laurels. And pretty soon, they found out that the rest of the students have pushed ahead and they're struggling spiritually. Why? Because they're not going forward. They're not pressing on. We need to have that vision for our life. Where are we going? What's happened in the last year, two of your life? This is important. A lot of times you can look at people from a distance and you can just see. And you wonder where the next drop-off is going to be. Secondly, we need to definitely determine that we are not going to finish life without victory over our besetting sins. We need to determine that we finish life, we are not going to be defeated or still defeated by our besetting sins. Those sins, that maybe it was even those sins that the Lord used to show us our need of Christ. And, you know, besetting sins. I heard a young evangelist, and I think he said a pretty good job. He said, those sins that you allowed into your life before you were 18. Will be a struggle the rest of your life. Are we going to get victory over besetting sins? Or are we going to end our life and say, you know what? I'm not really pleased with how I am going to meet the Lord. Time goes by quickly. I start thinking about the fact that, boy, there's a lot of people, even my age now, that have gotten cancer or something and they have died. Thirdly, we need to have a daily check. We need to have a daily check about our life. Are we going forward? Is there growth? We need to have a daily check of where we are spiritually. We need to check up our life, and we need to say, you know, just because physically we are going down in life, and that kind of, you really begin to realize that at about 40, maybe 45. Just because you're going down, that doesn't mean that God's plan is for us to go down spiritually, right? It's not God's plan. And so we need to have a daily check of this progressive, incremental, forward growth, spiritual work of God in our life. We need to make sure that every defeat is followed by victory in Jesus Christ. The just man falleth seven times, and he getteth up. We need to get up. We fail because we are human. We fail because we depend upon ourselves. We fail because we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. We fail because we seek to do the work in our own strength. We fail because we get proud and we take the credit for what God did, and we immediately will go backwards and fall. And God teaches us through those things of how to go forward and how to have victory. And so tonight, there's two ways of looking at this message. There is an intellectual way that we can look at this message. And it's good to look at it intellectually, what the Bible really says, because we live in a day that I feel like we have almost accepted that when people get saved, you know, it's just, you know, go up for a while and then go backwards and coast and whatever. But it's good to know what the Bible says intellectually, but that's not going to change us. You might sit there and say, you know, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what the Bible says. But still, we can be satisfied with not growing. We can still be asleep spiritually. We can still be stuck in a rut. There's a sense in which this truth needs to grab a hold of our heart and bring some change by causing us to be humbled and to repent and to turn and to rely upon Jesus Christ and His strength and to, by faith, make some daily adjustments in our life. And put a goal in front of us. What do we want to be when we meet Jesus Christ? Do we want to be the same? Do we want just a little improvement? Or do we want to have the work that God intended to do in us completed? So like the Apostle Paul, we might be able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished. I got it mixed up. I have finished my course. Kept the faith. I'm lost. Fought a good fight. Finished my course. Kept the faith. All three of them. All three are about that great issue of meeting the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. that we can look at your work in our hearts, what you desire, what your plan is for our life, why you saved us, Lord, and how that you desire that there would be a progressive sanctification in our life. As we grow, as we walk with Christ, as the Spirit of God would give us victory over sin. And now, Lord, I pray that even as we apply this truth to our lives tonight, Lord, that we would really look to you. I pray that, Lord, that the deceptive self-satisfaction that our own sinful nature and even Satan can give us, that, Lord, that you would wake us up and stir us up. I pray the complacency, self-sufficiency, that, Lord, that we would see it. Pray you give us a new vision of our life, of how you have meant it to bring glory to you at your appearing. As our heads bowed and eyes closed, very simple truth.